Okay, this week is Parshas Yisroi, Aseres HaDibrois, and the pasuk starts off, the first pasuk, Vayishma Yisroi Chayim Migin Chayim Moshe. Yisroi hears a scholarship also Kimu Moshe, or Yisroel Amoy, all that Hashem did to Moshe and to Yisroel, Ki Haitzi Hashem is Bnei Yisroel, Hashem took out Yisroel, as Yisroel be Mitzrayim from Mitzrayim. And the famous Rashi, Rashi means down the Mechilta, Vayishma Yisroi, Ma Shmua Shomoba. What did Yisroi hear? And he came, Kriyas Yamsuf and Mochemes Amalek. Yisroi heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, the great Nisim of the splitting of Yamsuf and the Mochama of Amalek. And everybody asked the Kasha, what's bothering the Mechilta? Ma Shmua Shoma. The Pasuk says what he heard. Vayishma Yisroi, and Yisroi heard, Eis Kalasha Asa Kimu Moshe. All that Hashem did to Moshe and to Yisroel. That includes Kriyas Yamsuf, that includes Mechemes Amalek, and includes everything, A to Z. What's Mechilta asking, Ma Shmua Shoma Ba? What did he hear? Says the pasuk says, "Vayishman he heard Eis Kalasha also, all that Hashem did." Many answers that are given. For the Rebbe of Zisha, say over, "Vayishma Yisroi." What did Yisroi hear? The Chilt is asking, "Mashmo Shama Uba." What made Yisroi come? What did he hear that made him come? The whole world heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. We know that when the water of the Yamsuf split, Chazal tell us that all the waters in the world split. A person had a glass of water, the water split. Everybody in the world knew that the water split. The whole world heard about all the nisim that happened. Mashmu shamo ba. What made Yisroi come? Everybody heard about it also. They didn't come. Chilt is asking, what made Yisroi come? What bothered him? What did he hear that made him come? You know what made Yisroi come? Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechemes Amalek. Yisroi made a posh de cheshbon. Kriyas Yamsuf, the whole world saw. Everyone knew about it. Amalek also heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Amalek knew about it the same way everybody else did. And Amalek still, after they heard about the great Nisim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and they saw water split, they still were able to come and fight against Klal Yisroel. They still were able to come and fight. Yisroi saw that even after a person sees Nisim, a person hears about the great Nisim, a person gets to go ahead and fight. So Yisroi, if that's the case, the effect that a person has wears off. A person can have a sairus, a person can be aroused, be woken up, see Nisim. If he doesn't act on it, it falls away. He loses it. The fact that he saw that Amalek was able to come and attack Klal Yisrael after the nace of Kriyas Yamsuf shows that the effect, the awareness wears off. And therefore Yisroi, he came. Yisroi realized that the only way to retain what he heard and to appreciate it was to come and to be part of Klal Yisrael. So the question is not what did Yisroi hear, but the question is Mashmo Shomo Ba. What did he hear that made him came? He saw what happened. Chazal tell us a shivcha by the Yamsuf, saw what the Navi Yecheskel didn't see. And we all know Chaim Kilos is Vard, but a shivcha she remained. A person can see, have this virus. A person doesn't act on it, it wears off very fast. Chaim Shmuel's famous Vard. The shivcha, Rosh of shivcha, Yom HaShivai Ra Yecheskel Ben Buzi, but the Navi Yecheskel didn't see. But yet, she remained a shivcha. This iris wears off. You could see great miracles happen. You don't act on it. You don't take action. You don't internalize it. You lose it. It doesn't remain. And the opposite is true. A person who acts on it, it remains. Just go off on a tangent for a second. Chaim Shmulevitz also continues with Palti Ben Laish. We said this over also many times. Palti Ben Laish, Shaw went ahead and held that Michal's daughter was a wife of Palti Ben Laish. David held that he was his wife. Whole machlokes in kedushin, a whole omid. What exactly the machlokes Shaul and David was? Makash b'milva, makash b'milva pruta. One a whole bunch of different heichatimsis for the machlokes. So the Mar tells us what did Palti Ben Laish do? Not chev. He took a sword and he stuck it between his bed and her bed. And his whole life, he didn't go over to the other side. He stayed away. And Chaim Shmulevitz asks, what does a sword help? What does a sword help? The same way he put the sword there, when the Eitz HaHara overpowers him, he'll pull out the sword and take it away. He put a sword on between him and her, and that separated them for the rest of their lives. How did the sword help? And Chaim Shmulevitz says the same idea. Because the sword reminded Palti Laish of this iris that he felt, of the decision that he made, that he's not going to fail in this Nisayan, and he's not going to be oyved aveh with an eishes ish. So he put a sword as a way of reminding himself that every time that he saw it, remember, I overcame the Nisoyan, and I'm going to continue to overcome the Nisoyan every time that I see it. It served as a reminder to him of the way that he felt at that time. But a person has this iris, a person has to act on it, do something to continue to feel it. Otherwise, it wears off and it falls off. Yisroi saw what happened. Amal could come and attack. After seeing Kriyas Yamsuf, the effect wears off very fast. If that's the case, Yisroi came. Chavetz Chaim explains, Mashimu Oshama. What did Yisroi hear? This Rebbe Zisha says, Zisha is the Gevor, I put together. The Chavetz Chaim says, everybody heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Yisroi wasn't the only one who heard about it. Mashimu Oshama. What did Yisroi dare? What did he understand? Everybody just heard. But Yisroi didn't just hear, he thought into it. He understood. And therefore Yisroi went ahead and he acted. We all hear, but does it make an impression on us? Yisroi heard and it made an impression on him, and therefore Yisroi came.
That's very similar to what we just said.
And Chavetz Chaim say over a story, one day an envelope comes to the yeshiva in Radin with a donation of 500 rubles inside the envelope. 500 rubles inside the envelope. The 500 rubles looking was just loosely, haphazardly thrown in the envelope.
Cash.
It wasn't wrapped up. No insurance on the letter. Nothing at all. Just thrown into the mail. And they brought the letter to Chavetz Chaim. They showed him, look, the Yid sent us a donation, 500 rubles, which is a large amount.
A lot of money.
Large amount. And they were very puzzled the way it was sent. It wasn't sent in about covered away. It was just thrown in the envelope. It wasn't sent in a safe way. Wasn't wrapped up, the money was quite visible, and there was no insurance on the letter, it was just sent. So we were very curious why somebody would send money in such a haphazard manner. So I guess it had a return address. They were able to track down who sent the donation, and Chofetz Chaim asked him, and he said, tell me, why do you send the money in such a way? It wasn't the safest thing to do, to send the money loosely in the envelope. And he said, I'll tell you the story. He said, I'm a businessman. And I had an opportunity to make a good deal. And I made a neder to Hashem. And I promised Hashem that if I'm not tzlich in this deal, I'll donate 500 rubles to Yeshiva. I'll give 500 rubles at Stockholm. And Baruch Hashem was very matzlich. The deal went through. I had a lot of hatzlacha. And I came to keep my word. I took out 500 rubles, and I'm going to arrange for it to be delivered to the Yeshiva. Uh-oh. My good friend, the Yetzer Hara, shows up, and the Yetzer Hara says to me, 500 rubles, you don't really mean it, it's too much, you only said it because you wanted a deal to go through, it's enough if you give half, even a little less, you didn't really mean it, you can be mad another, don't be so serious about it, give a little less. Once the Yetzer Hara came to me and started handling with me, I should give less, I said, if I don't do it right now, I'm not going to end up giving it. I just took the nearest envelope that I had, put the money inside, and I gave it to the postman to bring over right away. And therefore, I sent the money over the way that I did it. A person has to act. When a person has this iris to do something, a person feels aroused to do a mitzvah. Mitzvah bal yodcha atach mitzvah. Don't delay. A person delays, a person can end up losing the mitzvah and not doing it. Ma shmur shama Yisrael ba. What did Yisrael hear that made him come? Yisrael saw that if you don't act, you end up losing this iris that you have. And therefore Yisrael came. Pasuk tells us later on, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Gimel, Koisoy Melo Beis Yaakov, V'sagig of Bnei Yisrael. So you should say to Beis Yaakov, and tell over to Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi tells us, who are Beis Yaakov? Says Rashi, Beis Yaakov, Ego Hanoshim. These are the women. Taimalehem Baloshin Raka. Speak to them softly. The Sagid of Bnei Yisrael. Sagid is a Russian, a harsher Russian. When you speak to the men, you tell them Einchin V'Dikdukin Parashu Zecharim. To the men, specify the punishments and all the details. Devarim Hakoshin Gidin. Word harsh like Gidin. So you speak to the ladies. You have to speak softly. You speak to the men. You can speak a little harsh. I want to read Rabbeinu B'chai inside in this pasuk. Perik Yutes Pasuk Gimel says Rabbeinu B'chai. Va'oid shehoisha hisiva l'tayra. An isha is the cause of the husband, the children learning tayra in the house. Shehi yichayla lahamshich espinor abeis amedish. She could attract her son, entice her son to go in Beis Medrash. Because she's Mitzui Babai, she's found in the house, and she has Rachmanis on her son, and she could attract him to learn Torah from when he's young. And when he's old, the Torah won't go away from him. Well, kach, and therefore, Ru'uya ha'isha l'espala l'Hashem yisbarach, it's fitting for an isha to daven to Hashem, b'shas hadrokas ha'ner shel Shabbos, when she writes the Neiro, she mentions lich, the Neiro shel Shabbos, shehi mitzvah mutelas aleh, which is a mitzvah put upon the isha, she should daven at the time of benching licht, she yitin lo Hashem bonim me'irim mitar. She should give us sons that are light up with Torah. Ki ha'tfilo yoysen ishmas b'shas asiyas ha'mitzvah. Tfilo is more heard, is more accepted if a person davens at the time that he does a mitzvah. Since she has the mitzvah of hadlokas ha'nehmas, it's her mitzvah, a tfilo that an isha davens at the time of doing her mitzvah is more mekobel. Uvizchus ner Shabbos, which is oyer, b'schus the light of Shabbos, the kiddos of Shabbos that are light, tiska lebonim, she should be zoichet, the children that are bali Torah, that are called, it's called or, shenemar, ki ne mitzvah v'toyra or. Like the Gemara in Shabbos, daf chav gimel, haiman the rogi of a shrogi, one who's usual to light candles, neighbors of Shabbos, havin lebonim tamid chachamim, have children tamid chachamim. Koysan lebeisach, the lady has a koyach, koyach atfila, befrat when you do a mitzvah. And that's the thing, even Isha davening at the time of benching Licht. Well known, the Chofetz Chaim, he had a Tehillim, his mother's Tehillim was filled with tears, wet, worn, used. Chofetz Chaim would say, look how many tears my mother cried that her son, meaning himself, should turn out to be an El Chayid. And they tell over the story that when the Chofetz Chaim started to become known in the world,
famous.
People are yentas. So they went over to the Chofetz Chaim's mother and they asked her, what schus do you have that your son is the Chofetz Chaim? What schus do you have? And she said, I don't know. I'm an Elchi. I don't know. And they started nudging her. Did you do anything special? Do you remember a story? Did something happen? Why were you Zaycha? And she says, I can't remember any outstanding story, anything special that happened. I kept the Torah, did the best that I could, and I don't know. The kids, the Chofetz Chaim's daughter, before her chasana, Chofetz Chaim's daughter, one day was speaking to her grandmother, Chofetz Chaim's mother, and the Chofetz Chaim's mother said to the granddaughter, I'm going to tell you a story that I didn't tell anybody else. She told her family. She said, I don't know what schusim I had. I don't know what schusim I had. People keep asking me. But I want to tell you something that happened to me. Chofetz Chaim's mother is speaking now. She says, on the day of my chuppah, the day of my chasana, my mother came to me and said she wants to talk to me privately without anybody around. And my mother said to me, I have a sitter. And this sitter has tehillim, I used it. I want to give it to you. And I want you to use it whenever you have any free time. After your chasana, whenever you have any free time, I want you to take the sitter and daven. We'll use it to heal him. I want you to daven. And don't forget to cry. When you cry, tefillah with tears, shari demois l'ninugol, the gates of tears are never closed, tefillah goes a lot further. And my mother gave me the sitter. And then she continued and she said, I took the sitter with the tehillim, and after the chasana, every time that I had a free minute, I used the sitter. When I was cooking something on the stove, I was waiting for it to cook. I had a few minutes, I ate with the sitter, I was misbalo. When I was waiting for my husband to come home, I had a few minutes, I was misbalo. I was waiting for the children, I always davened. And I constantly used the sitter and tehillim over and over and over again. Perhaps that's schus, and that's why my son, Yisrael Meir, turned out to be the Chofetz Chaim. The koyach of a mother's tefillos can't be underestimated. A mother's tefillos could accomplish a lot. See, Rabbeinu Mechai, the koyach a lady has, v'shas adlokas neiros, the koyach of tefillah. It's one of from the Briskerov also, he was asked about his children, and he said, I was mispalo. I never forgot about them. They were always on my mind. I constantly was mispalo and cried for this chus, my children turned to be elach yidin. A parent, mother, especially davening for a child, has a tremendous chus. Koyslaim Beis Yaakov. Beis Yaakov, the ladies are the ones who help the children learn, the husbands learn, and then want to stand behind us, and they have a tremendous kayach of tefillah, which they have to realize, and we have to appreciate at the same time. Sayobo Fvart is said over many times from Yaakov Galinsky, but the message is so clear, and it has to be said over and over and over again. I don't think this Fvart can ever turn stale. So at the end of the Aseret HaDibros, in Perichof, Pasuk Yudalid, the Pasuk tells us, the last of the Aseret HaDibros is Lo Sachmid. And if you read the Pasuk very closely, it seems to be a little bit of a difficult Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, Loisachmoid Beisriyacha. Don't desire your friend's house. Loisachmoid Eishisriyacha. Ba'avdoi is Evid. Ba'amasai is Maid. Ba'shayra. Ba'chamoir is Shar. His donkey. Ba'choyel Ashelariyacha. And whatever he has. Loisachmoid. Loisachmoid. Don't desire A, B, C, D. And everything that he has. And the question is obvious. Why does the Pasuk have a list off everything in detail? If the Pasuk says, Choyel Ashelariyacha. Just say, short and sweet. Loisachmoid. Choyel Ashelariyacha. Don't desire whatever your friend has. Don't desire his house, Eishes V'yechel, his Eved, his Omer, his Shor, his donkey, and everything that he has. What are we being marve? Why is there a reason to list off all these items if we're anyway saying, Kol Hashem V'yechel, all that your friend has? Says Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, powerful, powerful lesson. We see, our eyes see what other people have. Our eyes pop out. He has a nice house. Why not me? It's not fair. I should deserve one also.
Makes sense.
He says the shard today is the car. Yerim has a nice car. I have to have a nice car. Whatever somebody else has, eyes pop out. People are staring. It's not fair. Person desires a person wants. Says the Torah, hold on 1 second. You want what Yerim has? You really want it? I'll give it to you. But you know what? It's a package deal. It comes with kol asher ariyecha. You should know if you desire is evet. Desire is omo. Base reyecha, you want it? Okay. But you know it comes with chol asher reyecha. It comes with everything else that he has. Do you really know what's happening behind closed doors? Do you know what's happening in that person's house? Do you know about that trouble that he has? About that sickness that exists? About that problem that he has? Do you know about it? You just see in front of you the nice house. You want it? Don't desire too much, because if you want it, and you'll end up with it, it's going to come with the chol asher l'riyachol. You're going to end up with the house and all his tzaras as well and all the problems that he has. But the expression goes, the grass is always greener on the other side until we reach the other side and we see that looking back, we're much better off where we started from. Every person has what he needs. Ezeu asher ha-sameich b'chalkoi. A person who desires from others the chol asher l'riyachol. Remember, there's a whole cheshbon in why that person has what he has, and if you desire it and you want it, it's going to come to you. But you know how it's going to come to you? B'chol asher ariyecha. It's going to come to you with everything else that he has. Don't be so fast to desire what somebody else has. He was a magadin Rishon in Eretz Yisrael. Famous. He was nifter recently, a few years ago. 2 or 3 years ago.
He was in the camps.
No? Yeah. Story after story after story. B'chol asher ariyecha. Be careful. If you're not too careful, you end up with everything that your friend has. Don't desire so fast what somebody else has. Hashem gave you, every person, what he needs, what's good for him. I'm going back a little bit. I want to go back to the story. It says, early in the parasha, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk tells us, Vayhimi Macharos, Vayeshev Moshe Lushpoit Es Ha'om. Right after Shein. The Pasuk right after Shein, it was the next day, and Moshe sat down to judge the people. Vayamoid ha'oma Moshe. The people stood next to Moshe. Minabaykei da'orah from morning until evening. And Rashi tells us, Mimacharos from what? It was tomorrow. Tomorrow was the day before. And Rashi tells us, Vahim mimacharos, Moitzoi yoim haki purim hoya. With the day after Yom Kippur. Kach shim b'sefri. Means the day after Yom Kippur. Vayeshev Moshe lushpat. So Moshe sat down to judge the people. And we all know, when it comes to dinim, especially Chayshim Mishpat, you have a Shulchan Aruch, and rules to follow, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, all the dinim that we learned, and all the halachas. In Baditshiv, there's a story that happened like this. There was a Yid who came into town, a big seicher, a big merchant. He had with him wagon loads of barrels. He had honey in the barrels. And he couldn't carry the honey around with him. And he left it by a person that he trusted. He left it in his storage houses. He left his barrels of honey there to be picked up at a later date. And the kids, to make a long story short, he ended up leaving town, and he never had a chance to go back for his barrels of honey. A year, 2 years, 3 years go by, and his barrels of honey was still sitting in somebody else's house. He's passing through Baditchev years later. He decides, let me find what's doing with my honey. It's, the barrels are still here. What the story is. So he goes to the house where he left it, and he finds that unfortunately the Balabos and his wife both had passed on through Eilam Emes, and they weren't alive anymore. And the Yisayimim were now in charge of the estate. So he tells the Yisayimim, listen, I left barrels of honey by your father a while back, and I want to see if it's still in the storage house. I want to take my barrels of honey. They say, you know, you could look, but we have no idea which barrels belong to our father, what didn't. As far as we know, it's all ours.
Right.
Anyway, the kid says, he looks, and sure enough, he sees his barrels are still there. And he wants to take it. And his son, you say, sorry, but until you have a shtar, until you prove it, you can't collect from us. Because we have no way of knowing if it belongs to you or not. They go to a din Torah. They come before Rabbi Yitzchak Baditchev. He hears both sides of the story. He knew this gevir was coming to collect the honey, was an Elch Yid, and he was able to see that he's telling the truth. But halacha is that it comes to from Yisayimim. You can't collect from Yisayimim unless he has a shtar. In certain cases, b'shvuah, but here, really, there's no proof at all that it was his. He has no right to collect from Yisayimim. And Baditchev was very upset because he knew that this person was telling the truth, and it bothered him that he had to paskin against him. It bothered him so much, he went to sleep. He had a dream. In the dream, they came and they told him, don't be upset. You're only seeing part two of the story. Let us tell you part one of the story. Part one is years ago, before he put the honey with the barrels, the Simon's grandfather had given some money to this Gevir's father. Had given him money. So the Yisrael's grandfather gave money to the owner of the barrels, gave him some money to do some business. And that money somehow...
Well, the father of the owner of the barrels.
The father of the owner of the barrels. Right, a little confusing. The grandfather of the Yisrael gave some money to the father of the owner of the barrels of honey. Nothing to do with the honey.
Right.
Happened. He made a business thing with some money. And over the years, somehow that was forgotten about, and the money was never returned from the Gevir's father to the Yisayimim's grandfather. Never was returned at all. And now, the barrels of honey are the way of paying it back. The barrels of honey are worth the exact amount of money that the grandfather had given to him years and years ago. So they told him, a human being, only sees half of a story. We see the end, the beginning, we don't know where we're coming into a story. But when you see the whole picture, when you see the entire picture, the story changes. And they say a little verse, "Ein muktum u'much b'tayra." There's no order in the Torah. Ein muktum. When you come to see something happens in the world, you don't know the cheshbon. Are you seeing the muktum? Are you seeing the first part? Are you seeing the muuch? Are you seeing the later part? Are you seeing the end? There's not necessarily the order in which we see things. There's the way things happen. When we see things happen, it's not fair. We don't know what happened before. You look at things only from our eyes, we don't necessarily see the whole story. When you see a whole story, suddenly everything changes. Okay, one story leads to another story. So, I don't know if anyone heard the story. I heard the story. This story has nothing to do with the Israel per se, but one dream, a story with a dream leads to another story with a dream. I don't know if the story went around. I heard the story for the first time Matzah Shabbos. I was by Moav Amalka, and Blazer Ginsburg spoke. He told over the following story. If you heard the story, good. If not, if you heard it, I won't say it. You heard the story about the lady with the quintuplets or not?
No.
Okay, I'll say it later. Nice. You heard the story, good? No. Okay. Story goes like this. In Toronto, there was a Jewish couple that didn't have children for many years. Time goes on, and she finds out that she's expecting. The kids, she goes to the doctor. There's not one baby, not two. She's expecting five. Fine. She's carrying five. She's carrying five babies. Quintuplets. She's carrying five babies. Okay. Sends it to another doctor, hints in her hair, and whatever they told her, bed rest, they told her to do, etc., etc., they agreed that there's a very good chance that she will deliver five healthy babies. And she went through the pregnancy, and delivers five healthy babies. Gives it to five healthy babies, quintuplets. I don't know boys, girls, I don't know the breakdown. She has five, gives birth to five babies. The kids, they were overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. First children, five at a time, terribly overwhelmed. Besides being overwhelmed, there's not enough money, there's no parnasa, there's no money to manage to take care of five babies. Okay, so in the beginning, this organization helped, that organization helps, somebody helped with the nurses, they managed to make it home, the diapers and the formula and the nurses and the b'chola, anybody can imagine. The kids, money is very tight. The father decides to take out an ad in one of the Jewish papers, asking for a sponsor to help support the
go support
the children. He takes out an ad, and he says, "Our wife and I were blessed after many years with five children, quintuplets, and we don't have enough. We need money for nurses, diapers, and basic necessities. Whoever wants to be zeichel mitzvah, please send to this address, call this number." He puts an ad in the paper. There's an elderly Jewish lady sees the ad. And she decides, you know what? Why not? Sounds like a nice mitzvah to do. And she writes a check, but not just a check. She writes a check enough to supply a whole month worth of diapers and formula and for the nurses, an amount for a whole month. And she sends them this big check. They get the check in the mail. They're all, can't believe it. And they're able to make it through the month. It comes the next month, the lady decides, you know what? I'll do it again this month. She writes another check for the same amount, again, a large amount of money. She sends them the check. And the next month. And the next month. And she keeps on sending a check. One day, the lady says to herself, you know what? I want to see these babies.
No.
If I'm supporting them for a few months, I want to see these babies. So she had the phone number from the ad. She calls up and she says, my name is Mrs. So-and-so. I'm the one who's been sending you the checks all these months. I'd like to know if I can come see the babies. So the father gets a phone. It's the covered gondol. You're a bubby here already. You're supporting us. When do you want to come? They make up a date, a time, an hour, when she's going to come to see the quintuplets. The day comes, and they're waiting for her, and she comes on time. They open the door. They're holding one baby, another baby. She comes in. She sees all the babies, and she's oohing and aahing, holding all the babies, and she's shepping nachas, and they're thanking her for the checks that she sends. And it looks like one big happy family. The Yeska comes down by the table, let's talk a little bit, and they offer some food. She sits down by the table, and the family pictures all around. She looks at the pictures, and she sees a picture of a lady. She stares at the picture, and suddenly she falls back, and she falls down on the floor. She passes out. From one of the pictures, looking at one of the pictures on the wall, she passes out. They don't know what to do. What happened to her? They realize that she's not, she just passed out. She comes to pretty soon. And, they say, are you okay? She says, I'm fine. Help me up. They help her up. She points to a picture with one of the lady, a picture of one of the ladies. And she says, tell me, who's that lady in the picture? And the mother of the quintuplet says, that's my mother. That's my mother. She is. And she's still alive. She says, no, my mother went to the Agamemnon a little while ago. She looks at her, at that picture, and she says, let me tell you a story about your mother. Let me tell you a story about my mother, and everything will fall into place. Okay. She says, your mother went through the camps. Your mother went through the war. And she says, yeah. And she asked the mother, the quintuplets, did your mother ever talk about her time in the war? Did she ever talk about what happened to her at all? And she said, no, not really. We just knew she was in some camps. We knew that she had been a secretary to one of the commandants in one of the camps, but that was about all we knew. And this lady says, let me tell you what happened. I don't know which camp it was. Your mother spoke many languages. Your mother spoke Hungarian and Iranian and she spoke many languages. The commandant of the camp needed a secretary who was fluent in many languages, and she would write all his letters for him, and she would answer all his correspondence. And he had a certain respect for your mother because of her because of her fluency in the languages and her way of corresponding with people, it took a big load off his shoulders, and she handled all the mail, all the correspondence, and it made him look good in, you know, in the eyes of his superiors. To the extent that she didn't have to sleep with the rest of us, but he gave her a room off the side of the office, a private room where she had a little cat, and that's where she stayed. One year, Chanukah time, this lady's talking, I and four other girls got together, and we decided, whatever happens, we want to light Chanukah Licht. We want to mention Chanukah Licht. So one of us managed to get a potato, one managed to get some oil, one managed to get a shmata. Between the five of us, we managed to have a makeshift menorah. We made a makeshift menorah, and we decided we're going to light it, whether it's the first night, second night of Chanukah, we lit the menorah. We lit the menorah, and we made the brachas, we lit, and as soon as we lit the menorah, suddenly we hear footsteps by the door. The door bursts open, the kamadan comes in, and he looks at us, and he says, aha! What are you doing? I know about you. And he says, tomorrow, you're all going to hang. Tomorrow, you're all going to hang for this. We're going to make a big spectacle in front of the whole camp. And tomorrow, you're all going to hang for what you did. And he walks, storms out, takes down the names and numbers. Tomorrow, we're all going to hang. They're sitting there. He walks out. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. As the night goes on, this lady speaks. She says, I and somebody else thought about your mother. Your mother is his secretary. Maybe we could speak to her and she could somehow put in a good word for us, try to save us. The kids said, at great risk, we snuck out in the middle of the night. We went to your mother's room. We knocked on the door. Your mother was scared to open the door. Anyway, she opened the door. We told her the whole story. And we asked her if she could help us. And she told us, I really don't know what I can do for you. There's not much that I can do. But I could try, but I don't know much that I can do. But right now you have to go back. If you're caught here, it's the end of all of us. You go back right now, and let's all dive in. Maybe Hashem will send some kind of an aid to help us. I don't know what to do. The kids, they go back. The next day, 12 o'clock noon, they gather the whole camp together. Everybody comes together. In the center of the camp, there are five chairs prepared, five nooses to hang these five girls. And they're standing on the chairs, ready to be hung. The Kamadan gives his speech while they're being punished. And as he's finishing his speech and ready to put the noose around the first girl, the secretary, your mother, comes running out from her room, comes running straight to the center of the square, and she faces the Kamadan right in the center, in the middle of everybody. And she starts screaming at him at the top of her lungs. And she tells him, what are you doing? There's so many more important things to do in this camp. Do you know how much correspondence we have to answer? Do you know this? And she starts talking in Italian, in one language, another language. And she just keeps on ranting and raving and screaming at him. We're going to have to explain why we did this. This is not going to look good. And she just keeps on ranting and carrying on. And he's sitting there watching her, not knowing what to do. Finally, he says, okay. You know what? He says, we'll continue. Everybody go back to your barracks. Let me find out what this is all about. And we'll continue later. The kids are nice, they sent everybody back, they didn't hang them, and somehow she talked some sense into him, and the matter was let go, and they weren't home, they were saved. And she said, that was your mother. Your mother was the one that saved myself and four other girls. And she said, now I understand everything, because your mother came to me in a dream. And your mother told me in a dream a few cryptic words, which I didn't understand. Your mother came to me in a dream, and she told me five for five. And I didn't understand what five for five meant. Now, when I came here, and I saw that's your mother, and these are her five grandchildren, five quintuplets, now I understand five for five. She saved the five of us, and now she's asking, I should help you and save your five children, five for five. That was the story. Okay? That was the story. Okay. So everything has a cheshbon. Everything has a cheshbon in the world. When you see a whole story, suddenly the eyes open, wow. Our job in this world is sometimes not to see the whole story and still go, everything is good, everything has a cheshbon. But when the eyes are opened and you see the whole story, everything fits into place. But we have to believe that everything has a cheshbon. Everything has a full story. Emut mumucha. We don't know what happened before, we don't know what happened afterwards, but everything in life has a full story. Just want to end off with one Vafir Chassam Seifer. The Pasuk tells us in Perik Yutes, Pasuk Dalet. Atem re'isem asher asisi yigam Mitzrayim. Wait, I'm sorry. You saw what it did to Mitzrayim. V'esa eschem akan fei nisharim. Hashem says, I carried you on the wings of eagles. V'ovi eschem eloi, and I brought you to me. And the Chassam Sofer says powerful, powerful words. Says the Chassam Sofer, Klal Yisrael is always compared to what type of bird?
Eagle.
A yoina. No, Klal Yisrael is a yoina. Gemara and Shabbos. Gemara tells us, Yisrael nimshigu v'yoina. Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. Kanfe yoina, nechbo v'kesef. And Gemara and Shabbos of Memtes, ma yoina, kinafeha, megino yisrael. Just like a bird, the yoina, its wings protect. It uses its wings to fight off any of its enemies. Af Yisrael, mitzvahs megino yisraelin. So to Bnei Yisrael, mitzvahs protect. Klal Yisrael is compared to a yoina. The yoina represents a bird that's tahor. Who do we use for a carbon? Tyrim. Bnei yoina, a tahor dika bird. Here the Torah says, when it came to Matan Torah, how did Hashem bring us? Al kanfei nisharim, an eagle. What's a nesher? A nesher is the epitome of a bird that's tamei. The Gemara in Gemara Chulin of Samach Aleph. So the Gemara discusses the birds that are tamei, the birds that are tahar. The Gemara says, ma nesher miyuchad, top of Samach Aleph. An eagle is distinct. It doesn't have any of the four simani tahara. There are four simani tahara by a bird. An eagle has zero. Strikes out on all four accounts. Ma neshem yuchad, she'ein lo, it doesn't have etzbi yisera, an extra toe, an extra finger. A Torah bird has an etzbi yisera, the zefek, it doesn't have the stomach, the zefek. Ve'ein kurkabar, nikof, the gizzard does not peel off. And it's doire svaichal, tramples and it eats. Those are the simonim of a, these are simonim, and the nesher doesn't have one simon of a Torah bird, it strikes out on all four accounts. And Rashi's lashon is ma neshehu v'tamei, a bird, an eagle is tamei. So to a bird that has a simanim are also considered to be tamei. Of all the 24 birds, the eagle is the only one that has zero simani tahara. Strikes out on all four accounts. Says Chassam Sofer, doesn't it look a little strange that the Torah uses kanfei nisharim, right, the epitome of a tamei dika bird, to say, V'avi eschem eloyin, it brought you to me on the wings of a bird that's the tamei bird? What's this thing with the nisharim? And says the Chassam Sofer, yes. V'avi eschem eloyin, tell us that no matter what aveira you did, no matter how low a person fell, he could have all four simanim of tumah. Says the Torah, V'avi eschem eloyin, says, I'll bring you back to me. A person could always do tshuva, a person could always come back. No matter how low a person fell, you could have, like the Nesher, all four simanim of tumah. Not one simon of tahara, v'ovi eschmei loy, I'll bring you back. Like Remeya says, that Christ, even though they sin, called bonim atam ha-shem akechem, even when we're chaitim, even when we sin. V'esa eschem, I'll carry you back, even I can't finish shorim, even when you're like an eagle. It's all simanim of tumah. V'ovi eschmei loy, and I'll bring you back to me. Powerful lesson. Comes to Kabbalah Satayra. No matter how far a person can always come back. And a person can never say, me, I'm not ready to learn, I did this, this happened, how can I open a Gemara and learn? V'ovi eschem eloi. The person does an aveira, but found it happened already. The question is, what's he going to do next? What do you do afterwards? What do you do afterwards? V'ovi eschem eloi. No matter how far a person fell, Hashem says he can always return. Even al kanfei nisharim, even if you're on the wings of an eagle. Like we mentioned, our Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Shemois says that had the Yidden remained in Mitzrayim any longer, they would have fallen into the 50th level of Tumah, and it would be too late to leave Mitzrayim. That, says our Chaim, is only before Matan Torah. But after Matan Torah, a person could go even to the 50th level of Tumah, and the Torah will protect him and bring him out. With Torah, no matter how low a person falls, a person could come out. So everybody has their tzionis, everybody has their challenges in life, and sometimes they get the better of us. And we fall. And we fall, the Yitzhahara comes and says, you fell already. No. Leave it already. You don't have to learn tonight. It's okay. You can miss this. You know. For SS, even Nisharim, you can always return. A person can always come back. So hopefully, we'll all be mechazik ourselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the kayach to be able to continue to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs. And just like we had this week is Kabbalah Satayra, we should take to a Kabbalah Satayra and to understand the kayak and the kedusha of the Torah, and through a limitation of the zaychet, the Gula Shreim, and here we remain all night.